Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Welcome back.
We start tonight with a statement issued in the last hour by Newsnight and the BBC.
That statement was an apology for having aired a segment that wrongly accused a former British lawmaker of child abuse. And it comes just weeks after the BBC was questioned over how it handled sex abuse allegations against one of its former stars, the late Jimmy Savile. So today, as the network celebrates the 90th anniversary of its first radio broadcast, a report about a train robbery and the London fog, it's reeling internally and heads are rolling. The combination of scandals cost the BBC's Director General George Entwistle his job, although he left with a hefty severance package, and both the network's head of news and her deputy have stepped aside temporarily. To sort it all out, we've called Michael Goldfarb, a former colleague here at WBUR, our home station. Michael has been a freelance BBC reporter and host since 1986, and he joins us from London. And Michael, would you give us a sense of how this is playing out with the British people in terms of their trust in the BBC?
It's too soon to have any serious measurement come in. But, you know, it rattles people. The BBC is affectionately known here as Auntie Beeb. And it's like finding out that a beloved maiden aunt is actually perhaps a bit more corrupt than we thought she was. And because it's happened in the news division, the BBC is the standard bearer, both in television and to a certain degree just in news media in general, for impartiality and a high standard that never really flags. And clearly, this is an example of standards having slipped dramatically.
We want to note that our program has a partnership with BBC Radio, but the British people actually have a financial partnership with the BBC. They pay for it through a license fee charged to every household, and those fees amount to, I believe, about $5.5 billion a year. Is anyone saying that because of this situation, people should not be asked to pay that fee anymore?
Well, there are always people who want to say that, and they usually come from the right wing of the political spectrum or from competitors to the BBC who would be happy to see it downsized dramatically so that their commercial enterprises in television and radio could do. But the BBC is protected because it's created under a royal charter, which is renewed every 10 years. Now, there was a slight amendment made to it 2 years ago, which froze the license fee until 2016, which is the next time the charter comes up for renewal. So the BBC has 3 more years of guaranteed $5.5 billion a year in this special tax. And I tell you, you can run a heck of a media organization on $5.5 billion.
Michael, you've said you believe people should have seen this coming. Help us understand how such a serious journalistic mistake, wrongly accusing someone of child abuse, happened at Newsnight.
What's happened is management consultants were brought in about 20 years ago, and they looked around and they set up new management structures, and people who are listening who've been part of management consultant exercises know that what it tends to mean is that you're looking for ways to get rid of veterans, and that's what happened in BBC News. A tremendous cohort of people in their late 40s and early 50s accepted buyouts, left the corporation, and so you find that basic veteran journalists, you know, who can guide people, they have kind of left the mix. The BBC's Newsnight is their flagship news program on television. They contracted out this story, to the Bureau of Investigative Journalism. Now, this is another trend in journalism. Investigative journalism is very expensive. People get paid good salaries, and they often don't produce all that much work. The BBC worked with the Bureau of Investigative Journalism. Newsnight used to have its own investigative unit. They went outside this time, and they came up with this very flawed story in which it was implied but not stated that a very senior Tory who was generally known to be Lord McAlpine, the former treasurer, was accused of abuse. They did not put the allegations to Lord McAlpine. They gave him no right of reply. And the sole source for the allegation was a young man who had been abused at a boys' home in Wales 20 years ago. He was known to have suffered psychologically, and it was all the sort of thing that a veteran journalist might say, you know what, we can't stand this up yet. Let's wait. Let's get some more details. Let's get another source. We have to talk to Lord McAlpine. Instead, in the chaos that followed after the Jimmy Savile investigation, things went from bad to worse, and it ended up, ultimately, with George Entwistle, the new director general, falling on his sword and resigning.
And, Michael, you're suggesting that that collaboration with that outside investigative group weakened the standards or weakened the filters?
I don't want to go that far. I think that over a period of, you know, more than a decade, the filters have been weakened. Now, the BBC was working very closely with the Bureau of Investigative Journalism, and the which is a completely completely reputable, and it's made this one terrible mistake. But within that, you know, the editor of Newsnight has stood down. The head of news and her deputy have stood down, all waiting for the Jimmy Savile inquiry to happen. And so there was just no reporting going on, no accurate reporting. But the amazing thing about the BBC is just how many executives they have who are supposed to be the buffer between this sort of thing. I mean, today, Simon Jenkins, who is the former editor of The Times, wrote a very, very incisive article in The Guardian in which he looked at the depth chart, the corporate depth chart related to the news division, and he noted that there is a director of news, a deputy director of news, a head of news gathering, a head of newsroom, a controller of news production, a controller of news strategy, program controllers, acting controllers, directors, and heads, all of whom make six-figure salaries, and none of whom report or make programs.
Michael, briefly, although this is early to ask, where do you see this, how do you see this resolving at the BBC? What will be the ultimate consequences at the network?
If I had to say, there'll be a period of internal disquiet. I mean, my friends who work there, you know, the staff is completely demoralized. People who have nothing to do with the news division just really feel it. My guess is that the BBC will look outside the corporation and try and bring an outsider in who might see these things more clearly. I would also guess that by the time of charter renewal, the ship will have steadied. The essential thing to remember on the 90th birthday of the BBC is that it is one of the key institutions now of British life, and it's not possible, I think, for Britons to imagine doing away with it.
That's Michael Goldfarb, a freelance journalist who does work for the BBC, speaking to us from London. Michael, thank you.
Thank you.